Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church coming to you on a Tuesday broadcast. So glad you're joining us today. Hope that your week is going well. Hope that you're safe on the highway. If you're driving home from work today, I'm praying for your safety. And be courteous to that person in front of you, behind you. And remember, we can display the love of Christ even by the way we drive. As a matter of fact, I tell the people in our church, I said, listen, we have these bumper stickers that you put on your car that advertises the name of the church. Now, if you don't drive like Jesus wants you to drive, don't put one of those stickers on the back of your car, okay? We don't need any bad advertisement for the church. But if you drive well, we'd love to have you advertise for Hickory Ridge Community Church. Well, thank you so much for listening today to the broadcast. We are picking up part two of a message that we started yesterday, and we're talking about how those who are disgraced can be given God's grace. And we talked about the fact that Jonah was running from God. We talked about the fact that God pursues us. And when we have an encounter with God, we can rely on Him or we can run from Him. We learned from the prayer that Jonah cried out unto the Lord as he's in the belly of that great fish, had four gracious messages. Message number one is that God is real and we really need Him. Now, this is amazing. Sometimes you see the reality of God in the middle of the storm and how He rescues us. One of the things I'm going to do when I get to heaven is I'm going to thank God for the near misses in my life. Now, some of these near misses I am aware of. Other of these near misses I am not aware of, okay, because I missed it. I remember one day I was going through New Jersey on the New Jersey Turnpike, and all of a sudden, traffic just stopped. And I remember sitting in that traffic, and I was so frustrated. And I said, man, I can't believe we're going to sit here in traffic for 2 hours. It stopped. We went nowhere. You know, it's one of those, turn off the engine and go ahead and get comfortable because you're going to be waiting a while. Well, when finally traffic was released, I realized I could have been 5 minutes ahead and been in a terrible accident. But God, in His grace, allowed me to miss that accident. You know, sometimes God does that. Sometimes He slows us down so we miss an accident. Sometimes He speeds us up so we miss an accident. You know, God is in control of our lives. We should rely on Him, not run from Him. We should rely on Him. We learned, secondly, from the message of Jonah yesterday in his prayer, that not only should we realize that God is real and we really need Him, but we should realize that God can cast us down and He can cast us out. Jonah was cast down. He felt very uncomfortable, and he was at the point where he was about to be cast out, but God gives him a second chance. Jonah's prayer life, all of a sudden that was dead, comes alive, and in his distress, he calls unto the Lord, and the Lord answers that prayer. From deep in the realm of that great fish, he cried out to God. You know, prayer works. And I've discovered sometimes my most effective prayers are when my back is against the wall. I have been praying fervently for our nation, and I hope that you have as well. You know, I was really upset about where our nation is. And just a few weeks ago, I was getting all anxious about it, and I was worried about the election. I was worried about what was going to happen, and I just started fervently praying. You know what I realized? I realized that God is God, and I am not. I realized that He is in control and I am not. I looked at Scripture and I discovered that the powers that be are ordained of God. Oh yeah, I do my part. I go out and vote and I vote the Bible. But I realized that God sets up kings and rulers and authorities, and the same God that sets them up can also take them down. Jonah cries out to the Lord and God answers that prayer. Maybe today you need some prayers answered. Maybe you need some wisdom in your life today. Maybe you're trying to figure out, what is the next move in my life? Should I marry this person? Should I take this job? Should I go to this church? And I want you to know that God will give you wisdom. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and He will give it to you. And He will give it to you without finding fault. James says that He gives it to us generously. I love that. When it comes to giving, God's a liberal. He liberally gives to us. But he says when you ask, there is a catch, right? And the catch is that you must believe and not doubt. Now, many times we pray, and I think we go to our prayer closet like this. Now, Lord, I don't know if you can answer this prayer or not, but I'm going to pray it anyway. That is not the right way to pray. Whatever we ask for in prayer believing, says Jesus, Matthew 21:20, it shall be done. James says, if you doubt, you're like that wave of the sea that is blown, tossed, and fro. You're double-minded, unstable in all of your ways. That man shall not receive anything of the Lord. We talked yesterday about how Paul prayed for us, that we would understand the depths of God's love for us, that we would understand that God can strengthen us through the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing we learn from the prayer of Jonah, as he's in the belly of that great fish, is that God not only is real and we really need him, that God can cast us down and he can cast us out, but we also realize that God's grace is great. It is greater than our sin. Now, salvation is a gift, but I want you to know something about salvation. Salvation is not primarily taking a bad person and making them a good person. Salvation is taking somebody who's dead and bringing them to life. Jonah is crying out from the deep. The engulfing waters are threatening him. He is all surrounded. He says, I got seaweed wrapped around my head. He had gone so deep that he saw the roots of the mountains as he's beneath that water. The earth is there, and he feels barred in. But you, my Lord, brought me my life up from the pits. He says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And then he says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. He said, what I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Here we see that Jonah was afflicted, but yet he cries out to the Lord. James 5 tells us, is anyone among you suffering? Or do you feel afflicted today? On our prayer list this morning, we probably had 20 different prayer requests for people who feel afflicted, those who are battling the coronavirus, those who are battling other kind of sicknesses. We have people on our list that have cancer. We have people on our list that have a lot of physical ailments, some with mental health issues. I want you to know that if any of you are suffering, James said, let us pray for that person. Jonah was afflicted, so he cried out to the Lord. Jonah was preserved in verse number 5, and we know that God knows how to rescue us from trials. Peter is very specific when he says, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. Don't you love that? You're going through a trial right now. God knows how to rescue you from that trial. He'll be with you in that trial, and at just the right moment, he's going to release you from that trial. Jonah was not only afflicted, and Jonah was not only preserved, but Jonah was encouraged. He was encouraged to pray, verses 7 and 8. You know, the Bible says that the prayer of a righteous person avails much. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful. James taught that the prayer of a righteous man is effectual. We also know that Jonah was thankful in his prayer. Verse number 9, he talks about the fact that he thanked the Lord with shouts of grateful praise. He says, I'm going to sacrifice to you. You know, the Bible talks about thankfulness in our prayer. As a matter of fact, if you're feeling anxious, you know, I'm a big proponent of memorizing God's word. If you are a person that battles anxiety and it is an ongoing problem in your life, would you memorize Philippians 4:6? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There ought to be huge elements of gratitude in our times of prayer. Well, there's a fourth thing that we learn from this prayer of Jonah as he's crying out to God in the belly of that fish. We learn, first of all, that Jonah realized that God is real and he really needed him. He realized that God could cast him down and God could also cast him out, but because of his grace, he wasn't cast out. He also learned that God's grace is great. It's even greater than our sin. And then lastly, he learned we need salvation, and so do the people around us. You see, God answers prayer. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. A friend of mine years ago was preaching on the story of Jonah and called Jonah the Baptist preacher that gave the great fish indigestion. As a matter of fact, that fish just throws up Jonah onto the shore. Jonah, however, had that prayer answered. You know, we can have our prayers answered as well. Jesus said this on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened to you." Now, if you look at that Matthew 7:7 passage, Jesus is giving that line that we ask and we should keep on asking, because if you keep on asking, he'll keep on giving. If you keep on seeking, you will keep on finding. If you keep on knocking, the door will continuously be opened to you. I want to tell you the story about Robert L. White. Robert L. White's lifetime course was set as a child's hobby, prompted by his father and a television show Lassie. I used to watch Lassie, love that show, back in the 60s. In one episode of Lassie, Timmy goes around collecting autographs. So in 1962, at the age of 14, Robert White, already fascinated with history and autographs, decided that he would write to J.F. Kennedy's personal secretary, Evelyn Lincoln, requesting a signature from the president. Well, several weeks later, a letter arrived from the White House which contained a facsimile signature of John F. Kennedy. Now, even though Robert knew that it was not an original signature, this cherished first item formed the seed for what was to become the largest and the most comprehensive and finest privately owned JFK collection of artifacts and documents in the world. Robert continued to write Evelyn Lincoln over and over again, asking for anything she could provide about JFK. The events of November 22, 1963 horrified the world. President John Fitzgerald Kennedy was killed by an assassin. Along with the rest of the country, Robert was devastated. On that day, at the age of 15, young Robert dedicated a page in his journal to the president, noting, "What happened today will be down in history books forever, and I will never forget it." Although the president had been assassinated, young Robert continued his passion for gaining JFK memorabilia. His relationship of correspondence with Evelyn Lincoln lasted for 33 years. She was impressed with Robert's passion for presidential history. Mrs. Lincoln gave him thousands of documents and mementos. He kept asking, she kept sending. She saved whatever could be saved, including little doodles of JFK that he drew during meetings. Sadly, in 2003, at the age of 54, Robert White passed away. But before he passed, he could boast of having the largest private collection of Kennedy memorabilia, over 50,000 items. It was one of Robert's dreams to eventually transform that collection into a permanent exhibit within a museum, which focused not only on JFK, but on one of the most tumultuous times or eras in American history. In 1999, Robert was able to realize this vision when his collection became the cornerstone of the focus of the Florida International Museum in St. Petersburg, Florida. The Robert L. White Collection is displayed there, with galleries traveling nationally and internationally through 2003. As you think about all that Robert did in preserving the memory of JFK and other world events that took place specifically here in the United States, we see that he had this remarkable insistence. He would keep on asking and keep on receiving. Now, what if somebody were to write your obituary? What would they write? What would they say about you? Would they say that your relationship with the Lord is a relationship of you kept on asking God for things and God kept on giving? As you think about that whole concept of how will people remember you, what would they think about you? Will they look at you as a person who is very insistent on following the Lord's will? Or will they look at you as a person who was kind of half-hearted in everything you did, whether it be your relationship with Christ or your relationship with others? Well, I want to encourage you today to be a man or a woman of purpose. Today, as we think about what God is doing, God is moving in a mighty way in our nation. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes of the broadcast about how God can use us even though we are not perfect people. You know, Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God, but he was not perfect. We discover after the flood that Noah gets drunk. And as a result of being drunk, he leaves himself in a position to be exposed. When you think about who God uses, God never uses people that are perfect. He uses only imperfect people. Now, he wants us to be mature, but he only uses people that are imperfect. We are told in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this, that we are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is not saying that we are to be sinless. It is saying that we should be maturing in our relationship with Christ. We should be more like him. In order for that to happen, there's going to be some patience that has to be worked into our lives. James 4 reminds us that patience has a perfect work so that we may be perfect, that is complete, lacking nothing. James continues on in verse number 17 of chapter number 1 and says that every good gift comes from the Father above. You may be listening to the broadcast today and say, how in the world can I be a good parent? How can I have that authority and that leadership in the home that I have? We are told in Proverbs 22:6 that we're to train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now that is a novel thought, right? Children need parents to train them. How does this happen? We got to keep Christ first in the home. Proverbs 14:26 says, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. We also need to take that lead spiritually within our homes. If you're a husband, if you're a dad listening to the broadcast, I want to encourage you to take the spiritual lead in your household. Way back in the book of Job, we discovered that Job was the spiritual leader in his home. Job 1:5 says, when a period of feasting had run its course, Jonah would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps one of my children may have sinned and cursed God into their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. This is what Job did for his family. When they had these times of gathering, after the gathering was over, early in the morning, Job would make a sacrifice for his kids. And he said, well, maybe they have secretly in their hearts cursed God. And Job did this consistently, as was his custom. So keep Christ first in your home. Take the spiritual lead. And then beware of the altar of materialism. Leviticus 18:21 says, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Moloch, for you must not profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Here we discover something very strange happening in the book of Leviticus. We see the people of God, of all people, were sacrificing their children on the altar of Moloch. And why were they doing that? So that Moloch would bless them financially, bless them materialistically. We see the same thing happening today. Do you know the number one reason why women have abortions today? Is because it's not a good time for them financially. It's going to hurt them materialistically. Putting materialism above a person. Oh, I want to encourage you today as you think about how you can have a home that brings glory to God. How can we become mature parents? I think, first of all, you've got to have a loving attitude. We're told in 1 Peter 3:9 that each of us should be of one mind. We're to sympathize with each other. We're to love each other as brothers and sisters. We are to be tender-hearted, and we're to keep a humble attitude. In humility, I have a low attitude of myself, and I have a high view of others. Proverbs 1:27:3 says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. Do you look at your children as a reward given to you by God? They're actually called a heritage from the Lord. You see, being a parent is a very precious gift, a very precious opportunity. When we think about responsible behavior, there's got to be some actions that are pushing responsible behavior. In 1 John 5:21, it says, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols." In other words, we're not going to be having anything that will hinder our relationship with God. We're also told in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that we should stop thinking like children. When it comes to this matter of evil, be like an infant. Be like an adult when it comes to this matter of responsibility. Be responsible in our actions. We're also learning that we have to have Christ-like character and understanding that there is great joy in having children. You know, I'm at the age now where my kids are all adults. My youngest is 20. My oldest is 28. We have 5 children, and God has really blessed our family. 3 John 1:4 is a verse that John shares, and I love this verse. John says, "I have no greater joy," and this is my praise, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth." Psalm 78:4 says, "We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders that he has done." You know, one of the things you ought to share with your kids is all the great things that God has brought you through, all the great things that God has delivered you from. Well, if you want to be a perfect parent or a mature person, you've got to really be one who is willing to be taught, be understanding that God has things that he wants to impress upon us, and then we are to pass that upon our children. We build upon precept, precept upon precept. Arthur Ann Ortlund said, "You know, children are like wet cement. They are moldable, they are impressionable." Proverbs 27:12 says, "A prudent man foresees danger and he takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and he suffers the consequences." I want to close the broadcast by telling you one final story that I'm not sure where I got this illustration, but I think you'll get the point behind the fact that we really need to teach our children well. Why do kids do what they do and continue to do it? Your response has a lot to do with it. You see, 4-year-old Matthew was in a bad mood. His mom could tell that as soon as she had picked him up from preschool, all he wanted to do was argue with her. Then he delivered the kicker from the back seat as they drove home. "Mom, I hate you." This mom decided to go out on a limb and do something revolutionary. She was very nervous. She wondered if it would really work. She'd read all of the discipline books and tried so many methods. None of the other techniques had worked. And Matthew was, well, getting to be a brat. So she couldn't believe she was actually thinking about her own child, but it was true. She sighed. Desperate times calls for desperate measures, but this new technique she'd heard about made so much sense. It had worked for her other friends. They said it all required her doing was standing up and being a parent, using consistency and follow-through in her own actions, and not backing down. She knew that would be the hardest part. You see, she was a wimp when it came to Matthew. When he turned those big blue teary eyes on her, he always got what he wanted. But today, things were changing, she determined. She was going to give this new method her best effort. So she threw that temper tantrum, a child who was in the mall, in the back seat of the car. Once she saw that Matthew got into the house, she didn't say a word to him. Went about their business, putting away the shopping bags from the car. After a few minutes, Matthew wandered into the kitchen and wanted a chocolate chip cookie and milk, but Mom already had said no. "We're not having any cookies and milk today," he asked, looking at the usual place in the counter. "We're not having cookies and milk today," she said, matter-of-factly. Then she turned her back on the child, and she went back and continued her work. Matthew says, "Well, I guess I'm going to have to go without today." So he decides to apologize, and he apologizes, and Mom says, "I understand and I accept your apology, but we're still not having milk and cookies today." When you think about that change that happened to little Matthew's life, it happened because finally Mom stood up and did the right thing. It was a change of moment in his life. That little boy never again battled a rebellious spirit. Well, as we close out the broadcast today, I want to ask you to do something, and I don't usually do this, but I want to ask you to consider being involved in Hope for Your Heart ministry. You know, this broadcast is a ministry of Hickory Ridge Community Church, and we gladly do this broadcast ministry, but it costs time to be on the broadcast. It costs time and money to produce this. And so if you would like to be part of this ministry by giving a small financial gift, I'd encourage you to write a check to Hickory Ridge Community Church, and then you can mail it to us at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you'd like to give online, you can go to hrcc7.org. And when you go on there, just hit the giving tab and you can give toward this ministry. And I thank you so much in advance for your financial support of this ministry. If it's a blessing to you, we hope that we can continue on with this broadcast. Thank you in advance for being so faithful and generous. God bless you.
For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.